All right, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. Top of Mem. Omarav, Tol Baruch, Inu Sarach Lavarich. So Rav said if a person went ahead, Rashi points out that the case over here is that a person is going ahead and made the bracha of Hamotzi, and then before eating, tells other people, take a piece of the bracha bread. He's encouraging others to take a piece of the Hamotzi. He need not repeat the bracha. Or in other words, it is not considered a hefsek. What Rav is saying over here is telling people to partake of the bread is not a hefsek in between your own bracha and the achiva. Havei melach liftan, tzarech levarich. However, if he says, let's say the person made the bracha before he eats from the bread, he says, bring the salt, or liftan is it's any kind of condiment that they used to go ahead and dip the bread in. So bring the salt, bring the condiment. So tzarech levarich, that's a hefsek. Rabbi Yochanan says, afilu heviu melach, heviu liftan, nami ein tzarech levarich. Rabbi Yochanan, on the other hand, says that no, even if you said, bring salt or bring the condiments, you also don't have to make a bracha. Why that's not considered to be a hefsek? Because since the salt or any of the other condiments are tzorech achiva, are part and parcel of the eating of the hamotzi, it's not considered to be a hefsek. Gevil leturi, tzorech levarich. But if you said, make sure, literally it means knead the dough, but what it means is make sure to feed the animals. So if a person said, make sure to feed the animals before they themselves took a bite of the hamotzi, that's a hefsek. But Rav Sheshet Samar Afilu Gevil Turi Inami Eilat Sarach Levarich. And Rav Sheshet said that even if you go ahead and what? Even if you go ahead and say, make sure to feed the animal, that's also not a hefsek. The Amarav Yehuda Amarav, Asr La'adam Sheyochal Kodem Sheyitin Ma'achal Levahemto. Because Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav that it's prohibited for a person to eat before he gives to his animal to eat. Shina Emar V'nasati Esev B'sad Chalivamtecha. Because the Torah says you shall go ahead and give. Esev B'sadcha literally means you should go ahead and I will give herbage in the field for your animals. V'hadar, and only afterwards does it say V'achalta V'savata. So meaning the order of the Torah itself indicates that first you give your animals to eat, and then only afterwards do you yourself eat. Rabbosai halacha lemaisa, we actually paskin like all three of these particular lashonos. Number one, that if you went ahead and you said, bring the salt, that's not a hefsek. Number two, if you said, please have some challah, trying to encourage people to eat, that's not a hefsek. Bring the salt is not a hefsek, and even feed the animals is not a hefsek. Or in other words, anything that is somehow related in some way, shape, or form to the hamotzi is not a hefsek. The only definition of hefsek is that it is totally extraneous. Amar Rav Bar Shmuel Mishum Rabbi Chiya. Ein habotzeh rashi liftzoa ad sheyaviu melech ol liftan lefnei kol echad be'echad. So it comes along, Rav Bar Shmuel, so also, just going back for one moment, what that also means is, you know, this often plays out in Jewish homes across the world, where there's no salt on the table, there's no knife on the table, so everybody starts playing a game of charades, right? No one knows, it's not good for Shalom Bayis either, right? So what you see from this Gemara is, you don't have to do that. The Mishnah Berurah says, if possible, you should use Lashon HaKodesh, you should say it in Hebrew, melach, salt, sakin, knife. But one is not obligated to try to mime out what it is that you want. You're permitted to ask for it explicitly, because it's not called a hefsek, since it's related to the bracha at hand. So comes along Rava, Bar Shmuel suddenly Rav Chiya, that a person should not make hamotzi until everyone has salt or liftan, some type of condiment in front of them. The idea is that everyone should be able to go ahead and make the hamotzi as the prusas hamotzi, the little piece of hamotzi, as delicious as possible. So you shouldn't make the hamotzi until everyone has access to it. Truth is, we do a little bit differently today, especially on Shabbos. Well, first of all, today it's a little bit different as well. In the times of the Gemara, the bread was much blander. So people used to use salt or some kind of condiment in order to make the piece of bread palatable. Today, just the way our breads are made is with all of the different ingredients, the truth is, one doesn't even have to put on salt or any kind of condiment before they go ahead and eat it. So that's why the Gemara is saying over here that really everybody's prusa should really taste good. So you shouldn't make hamotzi until everyone has some type of salt in front of them. Rava Bar Shmuel ikla le'Reish Kalusa. So we'll see this now. Rava Bar Shmuel went to the house of the Reish Kalusa. Afkulei Rivka ubatel ahedja. So what happens? They brought him out a piece of bread, and he made Hamotzi immediately. He made Hamotzi immediately. Meaning, he did not go ahead and wait for any kind of salt. Amarle Hadar Mar Mishmaite. So they said, and remember, this is Rava Bar Shmuel, who just said before that everybody has to have salt in front of them. So they asked Rava Bar Shmuel, did you retract your ruling? Now you're eating Hamotzi without waiting for salt? Amarlehu Les Din Tzarech Bishash. This bread does not require waiting. So Rashi points out that the Reish Galusa was the head of the Jewish people in Bavel, was usually very wealthy, had very, very high quality food items. So this is good bread. Such bread does not require additional salt, and therefore there was no need to wait. But Amar Rava Bar Shmuel Mishum Rabbi Chiya. So we'll say, just you should know, that is halacha lemaisa, that we consider to be our breads today of a higher quality. Therefore, technically speaking, one doesn't have salt, that certainly is not ma'akev the bracha. Again, we still use salt, we still dip in salt, really because the salt also has additional symbolisms, that since the Gemara says that a person's table is like the mizbeach, like an altar, and the Torah tells us, al kol karbonecha takriv melach, that you're supposed to put salt on all of your karbonos, so we have salt on the table, even if it's not going to be used, and we also dip our bread in salt, also symbolic of the karbonos as well. So the salt serves a two pronged capacity. Number one, as for taste enhancement. Number one, for, we'll call it, carbonic symbolism. The taste enhancement idea may not be really necessary today, but the carbonic symbolism still remains. So the Gemara goes on. Rava Bar Shmuel Mishum Rabbi Chiya. I will say the only reason the Gemara is quoting this now is because it's Rava Bar Shmuel. Ein mei raglayim kolin elan bi yeshiva. A person can only truly relieve themselves of all urine, meaning a person can only have a full urination if one is sitting. Now, I will say, the reason for that, Rashi points out, remember, don't think about this concept in the context of modern plumbing, but think about it as we spoke about earlier in the Masechta, where people were just relieving themselves wherever they could. So, not wherever they could, but that's a little exaggeration. But you understand that we saw, you remember, what's the definition of a Beis HaKiseh Chadash, a new bathroom? What's the definition? You use it. You've inaugurated it as a new bathroom. So the issue over here, says the Gemara, is that when a person was urinating outside, so as a person is finishing and the stream becomes closer to the individual, there was a fear of droplets on one's shoes. And we saw early in the Masechta, the droplets ultimately could create a negative impression in the eyes of others, and therefore as the stream began to weaken in its intensity, people would essentially stop urinating in order to avoid any possibility of droplets. So because of that, they would never fully relieve themselves. Therefore, says Rava Bar Shmuel, that's why if a person is sitting and urinating, there's no fear of droplets, and they could relieve themselves in totality. Rav Kahana said, unless, of course, one is urinating into loose dirt. The idea of loose dirt, soft soil, is there would be no splashback. There would be no droplets that would splashback, and therefore a person would feel comfortable fully relieving themselves. And if there is no soft dirt, then the other etza is, stand on a high place and urinate below. The idea is, make sure no one's there, right, obviously, right? And the idea would be that there's no fear of splashback over there either, since one is urinating down. So now that Rav Bar Shmuel kind of began to teach us some of this meal etiquette, so the Gemara goes on to more. So Rav Bar Shmuel says, after everything you eat, make sure to eat salt. Right? Actually eat salt after you finish eating. And after everything you drink, drink water. So the Gemara says, V'yata nizak, and if you do this, you will not be harmed. Meaning your food ultimately will sit well with you. Tanya Namihok, your bride that supports this. Achakol achilascha echol melach. After everything you eat, eat salt. Vachakol shdiyascha shesei mayim. Well, so the idea of Rabbi Rashbul is apparently a little bit of salt after you eat neutralizes the potential negative effects of anything you've just ingested. Vachakol shdiyascha shesei mayim. Vitam as Tanya idoch. Achol kol machol velo achol melach. If you ate any food but did not eat salt afterwards, or shasa kol mashkim, below shasa mayim, or you drank something and you, afterwards you did not drink water, biyom, if this happened during the day, yidak min ra'acha peh, one should be choshesh of bad breath. See, apparently salt also had another effect, which was that if you ate something sharp or you ate something pungent, that the salt, I guess, also neutralized the odor. So eat salt after you eat, and ultimately it will neutralize bad breath. And water also, whatever, if you drank something that had a strong salt scent to it, I guess the water would neutralize it. Ubalayla yidag mipnei askara. And at night, if you ate something and did not eat salt afterwards, or you drank something and did not drink water afterwards, one should be choshesh because of askara. The Rabbi said, we know the Gemara says askara. Askara was actually a very serious ailment that actually led to a tightening of the windpipe. So the Marsha points out whether the Gemara literally means askara, or the Gemara is just trying to say that eating salt and drinking water after you eat, after you drink, is very important. And if you don't, it could have negative health effects. But lab dafka, the specific disease that the Gemara is enumerating. Tana Rabbanan, hamakfa achilasa b'mayim eno ba lidei choli me'ayim. Literally, if someone submerses their food in water, they will not come to any kind of intestinal disease. What does that mean? That after you eat, you drink a lot of water, to the point that your food is floating in water, you'll be healthy. Vikama, how much water should you drink? Amar Rav Chista, ketone lepas, one ketone, or one pitcher of water for every loaf of bread. Amar Rav Mari, Amar Rav Yochanan, harogil ba'adoshim, if one regularly eats lentils, sa'achos l'shloshim yomonei askar misof besof, if you make sure you have lentils once every 30 days, so then you won't have askira, which was again this tightening of the windpipe within your home. Aval kol yom alo, but lentils every day is not good. My taima, mishum dekosh l'recha peh, it's bad for bad breath. And it causes bad breath. V'amar Rav Mari, Amar Rav Yochanan, haragil b'chardel achas l'shloshim yom monei chalva misof besof. Similarly, says Rav Mari, name Rav Yochanan, one who eats mustard, usually chardel means mustard seed, Turkey mustard seed, once every 30 days, person goes ahead and removes any illness from their home. It's healthy. Aval kol yoma lo. But if you eat it every day, that's not good. My time on mishum dekasha lecholsha deliba. Because ultimately it causes faintness of the heart. Amar Rav Chiya bar Ashi amarav. Harogil bedagim kitanem eno bali decholim me'ayim. One who eats small fish regularly does not come to any kind of digestive illness. V'lo'od. Not only that, Ella, Shadagim Kitanim Mafrin Umarbin Umarvin Kogufo Shahodam. Not only that, but small fish have the ability to make one gives one ability to procreate, and meaning they increase fertility. I've also learned something fascinating. There is now medical science is showing that there's a direct correlation between fish oil and fertility. Amazing thing. So Chazal are already saying small fish increases one's fertility, umavrin kol gufo shel adam, and lead to general health. Amar Rav Chama Rabbi Chanina, haragil beketzach, one who eats ketzach. Ketzach is fennel, F-E-N-N-E-L. It's a plant. So one who eats fennel, eino bali de kikeiv leiv, he will not come to literally heartache. It's not an emotional statement, it's a physical statement. Right? Meaning that a person won't have chest pains. May stay out. We learned also of Shimon Amliel Lomer. Ketzach echad mishishim samani amaves. I, but when also Shimon Amliel says that fennel is one of the 60 deadly poisons, which would seem to indicate that it's not good. V'hayoshein lemizrach grano damo berosho. Not only that, but if you sleep to the east of a fennel storage area, which means you're sleeping downwind of a fennel storage area, damo berosho, you're responsible for your own life, meaning that you could actually die as a result of being in the trajectory of the wind that takes up the smell of the fennel storage area. So the Gemara says, Lo kasha, habarecho habitamo. So the Gemara says, not a kasha. The scent of fennel apparently is very pungent and very dangerous. The taste of fennel, on the other hand, is very helpful. So the Gemara says, Imi Rav Yirmiyah afilei rifta. So for example, the mother of Rav Yirmiyah used to bake him bread. She would do something very interesting. She would stick on the fennel, right? When the bread was hot, she would put fennel on the bread in order that the bread should absorb the fennel. But then after it absorbed it, she would remove the fennel so that the odor would not be there. So her son, your mother would do such a thing like this, right? So that her son would get the taste of the fennel, but would not get the scent of the fennel. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Bremeni Dishan. So once again, back to the Mishnah. So the Mishnah said that Rabbi Yehuda holds that on herbage, you go ahead and you say, Boremini Dishoim. So the Gemara says the following. Amar, remember, as opposed to Borei Pri Adama, Rabbi Yehuda felt that Borei Pri Adama is not specific enough, and therefore one should make the bracha on Hashem created the herbage, the grasses. Amar Rabbi Chinina Bar Papa, in Halacha Rabbi Yehuda. The Halacha does not follow Rabbi Yehuda, but Amar Rabbi Chinina Bar Papa. My time is Rabbi Yehuda. What's Rabbi Yehuda's logic? And they both say, why is Rabbi Yehuda is not happy just with Borei Pri Adama? Rabbi Yehuda holds that you require more specificity, and halacha lemaisa, you should have to say borei minei dishoyim. So the Gemara says, what's his logic? Amar Krakas, the pasuk says, Baruch Hashem yom yom. Baruch Hashem yom yom. You should praise Hashem each and every day. V'chi b'yom mevarchin oso b'layla in mevarchin. What does that mean? That we only bless Hashem by day, but not at night. Ela lomer lecha, kol yom v'yom t'himo me'in birchosa. Rather, what it means is, give HaKadosh Baruch Hu of His blessings each and every day. Which is another way of saying that give God the blessing that is pertinent to that particular day. The same way that the Levim went ahead and sang a shir that is pertinent to each day. HaChanami kol min umin tein lo me'in birchosam. So to every single species, give Him... Thank you. So to every single species, give him a specified bracha. The same way that the Levim did not sing one shira every single day, but each day had its own identity, therefore got its own shira. So to every single food should get its own type of bracha as well. So we'll say the Gemara ends up with a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful Musar message. See how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is different than man. Midas basar v'dam, kli reikar machzik, kli mali eino machzik. In man's world, only an empty vessel is capable of containing something. A full vessel cannot, right? Meaning once the vessel is filled with contents, it can't take anymore. You can only fill up an empty vessel. Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu Eino Kein. God is not like that. Mole Machzik, Reikon Eino Machzik. This is an amazing thing. When it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, only a full utensil is capable of retaining more, whereas an empty utensil is not. Shene Emar, Vayomer Im Shamoa Tishma. What does the Torah say? If you have heard, right, or if you are hearing, you will hear. Im shamoa tishma, v'im lav lo tishma. What does the Torah tell us? If you have been listening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning if I have been doing what I'm supposed to be doing, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will enable me to do more. But if I've not been doing what I'm supposed to be doing, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not enable me to do more. Meaning, if I've listened in the past, I'll be privileged to listen in the future. If I haven't listened in the past, meaning, so if I'm filling myself up with spirituality, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will enable me to fill myself up with more spirituality. But if the kli is rake, if the utensil's empty, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, a person's not trying, I don't have to assist them in this process. Dover acher, im shoma b'yoshen tishma b'chadosh. Other possibility is, if you've heard with that which is old, you will hear with that which is new. So Rashi points out what that means is, if a person reviews their learning and makes sure that they solidly understand all the information that they've already ingested, then what? Then a person will be privileged to absorb new information. V'im yifne lipcha, but if you turn your heart away, shuv lo tishma, you will not hear anymore. Says the Mishnah, Beirach ha-peros ha-ilan bari pri ha-adama, yotza. So says the Mishnah, if a person made a bari pri ha-adama on fruits of the tree, yotza, you're yotze, because at the end of the day, it's a true statement, the tree itself grows from the ground. And then for Allah, I say, you're yotze. However, va'al peros ha-aretz bari pri ha-eitz lo yotza. But if you made a bari pri ha-eitz on items that grow from the ground, you made a bari pri ha-eitz on a potato, so then you're not yotze. Va'al kulam, and on every food item, imam ha-shakol ni'abidvara yotza. So on every food item, if you said a shakol, you're yotze. So the Gemara says, man tana de'ikar ilan arahi. Who is the opinion who holds that the major essence of the tree is not the tree, but it's the ground that it grows? So I'm saying, I will say, in order to be able to say that if you make a ha'adama and a ha'itz item that you're yotze, you have to be able to say that this real essence of the tree is still the ground. So who is the opinion that says that? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok, Rabbi Yehudahi, Disnan, Yavash Hamayon, V'niktzatz Ha'ilon, Mevi V'ino Kore. So we'll say, very halach l'mayis, this past week's parasha Bikurim. What happens if you have, Rashi points out, an irrigated field, right? This field is fed through irrigation. And what happens? So let's say the field is fed either through a spring that's there, or niktzatz, and let's say the well dries up. The irrigation ditch, the well dries up. or the tree from which I went ahead and brought the Bikurim. I took off the Bikurim fruit, and then the tree was chopped down. The tree died. So the first opinion says, maybe you bring the Bikurim, ve'eno kore, but you do not go ahead and read the Psukim at the beginning of Parshas Kisavo. Why not? Take a look at Rashi. Maybe ve'eno kore. Rashi says, she'eno yochol lomar min ha'adama asher nasata li. Because part of the Mikra Bikurim, part of the statements we make when we bring the Bikurim is, we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm bringing you the fruit from the earth that you gave me, from the land you gave me. So Rashi points out, "V'chevan deyavash hamayon v'niktzas ha'ilan mimena batla la'ara." Because it says the first opinion, since the well dried up, since the tree is gone, the land is insignificant, right? The land, the whole idea is, when the person brings Bikurim, says the Tanakhama, that I'm saying, I'm bringing you fruit from the land that you gave me. But the inference is that what? The land is capable of producing fruit, but in this case, where the well dried up, or ultimately where the tree is cut down, the land is not capable of producing fruit. Therefore, you bring the Bikurim, but don't say the Pesukim. Rabbi Yehuda Omer may be Kori. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you still bring your Bikurim, and now you bring the Bikurim, but you also make the recitation of the Pesukim. Why? Rashi says, Sha'aretz Yeker. Because Rabbi Huda holds that it's the land ultimately that is primarily responsible for the fruit, and as long as the land is in existence, you can read the Pesukim of Bikurim. So Rabbi Huda clearly holds that in the production of fruit, the land is the ikur, and that's why Halacha Lemaisa, even if you said a Brei Pri Adama on fruit that goes from the tree, you're Yotzei. Valperos Haaretz. So, but the Gemara says, but if you went ahead and you said Borei Priya eats on an item that grows from the ground, you're not Yotzei. He's like, Pshita, that's obvious. Amra, it's a false statement. Amra, Nachra Yitzchak, Lo Nitzcha El Rabbi Yehuda, Do Amra Chita Min Ilan Hi. So the Gemara says, no. You know why this is necessary? For the position of Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda happens to hold that grain is considered to be a type of tree. What does that mean? Disanya, Ilan Sha'achal Mimena Adam Arishan. So we'll say, here's what we know for sure. Adam HaRishon was told not to eat from the eighth Das Tov Hara, and he eats from it. The Shaila is, what was the eighth Das? What was it? So Rabbi Meir Omer, Gefen Hoya. Rabbi Meir says it was grapes. She'in l'chadavar she'mevi yilala al Adam el yayin. Because there is nothing that makes man cry like wine. What does that mean? That there is nothing that gets us into such trouble, that causes us to cry in such a profound way like wine. Okay, she'ne'emar v'yish n'ayayin v'yishkar. Rabbi Nechemya Amar Te'ina Haisa. Rabbi Nechemya says that the tree that he ate from was a fig tree. Shevedavar Shenes Kalkulu Bo Niskenu Shneemar Vayit Peru Ale Te'ina. So why did he say it was figs? Because, interestingly enough, it was the item that they made the mistake with that ultimately they covered themselves with. Because ultimately we know that they covered themselves with fig leaves. Why fig leaves? Because the tree that they sinned with was the tree with which they covered themselves with. Rabbi Huda Omer Chita Haisa. Rabbi Huda holds that it's grain. It was wheat. She'in hatinok yodea likros. Abba v'ima ad she'yitom tam dagon. Because Rabbi Huda says a child does not have the intellect to say mother or father until he begins to eat grain. Or in other words, that grain is something that is a necessary building block in one's intellect. Only when one eats dagon does one begin to develop the intellect necessary to articulate thoughts. So the Gemara is saying over here, therefore it makes sense that eitz das tov hara ultimately is dagon. So the Gemara says, Sakadai chamina, whole of Amr Rabbi Yehuda chita min ilani levarech alei brei priya eitz. So I might have thought, Sibo says, here's the problem. So now you have Rabbi Yehuda saying that the tree that Adam ate from was chita, was wheat, which means that chita is, at least according to Rabbi Yehuda, is a type of tree. So I might have thought, therefore, you should be able to make Brei Priya 8 even on these items that grow from the ground. Kamash malon no. Heichid mevachina Brei Priya 8. When do we make a Brei Priya 8? Heichad dechi shaklis le leperi isa legavza vahadir mafik. You only make Brei Priya 8 when? On what they call a perennial. When you go ahead and you take the fruit off the tree and the branch from which the fruit grew is still there. Aval on the base. Aval hecha de chishak lislei leperi. Lese legavza de hadam mafik lo mevachin lebrei priya eitz lebrei priya adama. But when you go ahead and you take the fruit from the branch, and ultimately the branch from which it grew is no longer there, you would not make a Brei Priya 8, rather a Brei Priya Adama. Therefore, Halacha L'maisa, only fruits that grow from trees, and this is also interesting now that we can't get into it now, but that's why Halacha L'maisa, in certain types of items that are not perennials, even if they satisfy other criteria, a Brei Pre'etz will not get a Brei Pre'etz. It's only if you take it from the branch is still there until it's able to produce fruit. The next year it gets a Brei Pre'etz, otherwise Brei Pre'adama. Va'kulon in Amr Shahakol, and on everything else, if you said a Shahakol, the Mishnah said, and if you happen to say a Shahakol on anything, you're Yotze. The Gemara says, well, we're going to have to define what anything means. Itmar, Rav Huna Amar Chutz Min HaPas. Rav Huna says everything means everything except for bread. Meaning if you said shakal on bread, you're not Yotze. Umin HaYayin, and same thing with wine. Wine and bread are too chashiv, that if you just said Hamotzi on it, it's not good enough. Rav Yochanan Amar Afidu Pas. Rav Yochanan says, no, even if you said shakal on bread, it works. Pas V'Yayin, even on bread and wine. Meim HaKit Hanoi. Let's say it's Machlogis Tanoim. If a person saw a particular loaf of bread and said, "Wow, what a nice loaf of bread!" Baruch Hamakom Shebera. Blessed is God who created it. Yotza, that's your yotze, your obligation of bracha. Ra'a te'ina. If a person saw a fig, va'amar kama no'a te'ina zu. What a beautiful fig this is. Baruch Hamakom Shebera. Blessed is God who created it. Yotza, that is a good enough bracha. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, okay. Rabbi Yossi, recall Mishanim Adesh Tavuch Hachamim Bebrachos LoYasadei Chavaso. On the other hand, Rabbi Yossi says no. Anytime you go ahead and you deviate from the structure that the Rabbanon made for brachos, you are not yotze your obligation. So the Gemara says Neima Rav Huna de Amak Rabbi Yossi, but Rabbi Yochanan de Amak Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Yossi, it would appear to be over here that this machlokis is the same machlokis that we had above. Just like Rav Huna said that shahakol doesn't work for bread and wine, Rabbi Yochanan says it does. So we'd be tempted to say that Rabbi Meir holds like Rabbi Yochanan, that just like Rabbi Meir holds that if he said, what a nice fruit, right? Blessed is God who created it. That's like Rabbi Yochanan, who holds that shahakol even works for bread and wine. On the other hand, Rabbi Yossi, who holds that, no, if you don't say the right bracha, you're not Yotze, that would seem to be in line with the statement of Rav Huna. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, Amar lecha Rav Huna. Rav Huna says, no. Ana de amri afili k'Rav Meir. I could go ahead and even paskin like Rav Meir. Right? I could pass like Rav Meir. Rav Meir was the one who said that you're Yotze the bracha. Ad kan lo kam Rav Meir hasam elheicha de kamad karshmei de pas. Because Rav Meir only says that if you say, what a beautiful loaf, Baruch HaMakom, blessed Hashem, who created it, that you're Yotze. Why? Because at least you made specific reference to bread. Aval hechad lo kamad kirshmei de pas, afil Rav Meir moda. But aloch al maisa, if you do not make explicit, if you just said shachol mi'evidvara, which what? Doesn't even make mention of bread. Even Rav Meir would agree that that's not a bracha. For Rav Yochanan amalacha anadami afil Rav Yossi, and Rav Yochanan who says, that if you say shahakol, that's good enough for bread and wine. He says, I could even say like Rabbi Yossi, who holds that the Baruch Rachmana bracha is not good. The reason why Rabbi Yossi said, that if you just say, what a nice loaf of bread, blessed is Hashem who created it, that you're not Yotze. Why? Because that's not a bracha. That's not a bracha. That's not one of the brachos Chazal made. Aval omer shakol mi abidvaro, detakinu afilu Rabbi Yossi modeh. But if he said shakol mi'abidvara, which is what? Which is a sanctioned, bona fide bracha, then even Rabbi Yossi would agree that it works. Binyamin raya karech rifta. Binyamin the shepherd broke bread. Va'amar borich morei dahai pita. And he said, blessed is God for this bread. Amar Rav, yatsa. Rav says, you're yotze. Right, that Binyamin the shepherd, that was a good bracha. Va'amar Rav, kol bracha she'in ba'az karas Hashem, eino bracha. Rav said, any bracha that doesn't have the name of God is not a good bracha, and Binyamin the shepherd didn't say the name of God. No, he did. Do'amar Baruch Rachmana Marei Dahai Pita. He says, no, Baruch Rachmana Marei. So not just Baruch Rachmana, not just blessed is God, but blessed is God, our master for this bread. So the Gemara says, 1 second. V'hava inan shalosh brachos. So the Gemara says, but what about the fact that for benching, you require 3 brachos? Yeah, well, so now the Gemara is understanding that in reality, Binyamin the shepherd was actually saying this particular bracha as benching. So what about the fact that benching is comprised of 3 brachos, and here Binyamin the shepherd only said this one phrase? So the Gemara says, "My yotza de ka'amar Rav." What does it mean when Rav said that you're yotze? Nami yotze yedei bracha rishona. No. That einach inami. That the only thing that Binyamin the shepherd was yotze was ultimately the first bracha of Birkas Hamazon. Rashi says, Yidei Bracha Rishona, Birkas Hazan. the first paragraph, that when he said, thank you Hashem for giving me this bread, that's the equivalent of having said the first paragraph of benching. Because since the first paragraph of benching essentially says what? Thank you Hashem for giving me this bread. Alright, Binyamin the shepherd just said a little bit more condensed form. So my kamash malon. So what's the chiddush over here? So the Gemara says a big chiddush. Afagav da amra b'loshon chol. Afagav da amra b'loshon chol. So the Gemara says, well, it seems to be that the chiddush over here is that the Gemara is teaching us that even if you benched in another language other than Lashon HaKodesh, which means, remember, I will say, Baruch Rachmana da hai pita is Aramaic. Is that it sounds even though it's Aramaic. So the chiddush over here, says the Gemara, is that Binyamin the shepherd benched, at least the first paragraph, in Aramaic, and he was still Yotze. So Marcel, we've already learned that. Tanina, ve'ilu ne'emarim b'choloshon. These are the things that are said in every language. Parsha sota, vidui ma'iser, u'kriyashma, u'tfila, u'birkas ha'mazon. So these are all the things that could be said in any language. And birkas ha'mazon is already at the end of the list. So we've already learned that explicitly that you could bench in another language. Iftrich sakadait chamina, hani milidam r'loshon chol, kiheichi ditakin rabbanon b'loshon kodesh. Avalo amr b'loshon chol, kiheichi ditakin rabbanon b'loshon kodesh, aim alone. So what it says, the Gemara, I might have thought the following. When the Braisa says that you could bench another language, I used to know, what does another language mean? A straight translation of benching. So when it says I could bench a language, I can take out my art scroll sitter, and if I read it in English, I'm Yotze. But I might have thought that if the translation that I'm, or if the other language that I'm using is not a straight translation of benching, then I'm not Yotze. Kamash malon, not so. Kamash malon abosad el halocha lemaisa. If you bench in another language, even if it's not a straight translation, as long as what? As long as you capture the major thematic elements of each paragraph of benching, you are Yotze. So halocha, to say thank you God is not enough. But to go ahead and capture the major thematic elements of each paragraph of benching, even without a straight translation, you are Yotzi. And that is, you should just know that Shulchan codifies that halacha lemaisa. That now again, you have to have a very good command of what benching means and what each paragraph means in order to make sure you capture the necessary thematic elements. But technically speaking, if you were to bench another language, capture the thematic elements, even without the straight translation, you would be Yotzi. Gufa, Omarav, Kol bracha she'in ba'azkaras Hashem in a bracha. Rav said, any bracha that does not have Hashem's name is not a bracha. But Rabbi Yochanan says, Kol bracha she'in ba'malchus in a bracha. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it's not just enough to say the name of Hashem. Rather, what do you need? Malchus. You need the phrase Melech Ha'olam. Melech Ha'olam, or Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye Kavosa de Rav Mistabra. So apparently, according to Rav, it seems to be, the Gemara says, Rav's position seems to be explicitly true. Disanya lo avarti. Now, what did Rav say? Rav was the one who said that brachos require Shem Hashem. So we'll say, amazingly enough, this is always the beauty of Daf Yomi, how sometimes you just have these confluence of events. This past week's parasha, lo avarti me mitzvosecha velo shachachti. This is the phrase, of course, by Vidui Meiser, that in year number 3, you make this statement indicating that you have given out all of your trumos and maestros. So I have not violated your mitos, and I have not forgotten. So the Gemara darshins, lo avarti milivarechecha, I have not transgressed blessing you, meaning, and when I separated out my trumos and maestros, I made the necessary brachos, velo shachachti, and I did not forget, milahaskir shmecha, to remember your name, I love on it. V'ilu malchus lo katoni. So you see, the drasha, the Braisa only talks about what? Mentioning the God's name of God in the context of a bracha, but doesn't mention anything about making, doesn't say anything about mentioning God's monarchical status. Elokeinu melech olam. But Rabbi Yochanan, Tani, Rabbi Yochanan's version of the Braisa writes, V'lo shachachti milahas kirshmecha umalchusecha alav. So Rabbi Yochanan's version of the Braisa, V'lo shachachti, I have not forgotten to mention your name as well as your malchus. Rabbi Yochanan, halacha lemaisa, we paskin, that in order for a bracha to be a valid bracha, it requires what? Both shem umalchus. Both the name of God, Hashem, as well as Malchus Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam. There are certain brachos that do not have that, but those are the outliers, those are the exceptions. General standard of brachos, general standard text that will format the brachos, is Shem, name of God, Malchus Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam. Says the Mishnah, Va'al davar shim gidulo mei ha'aretz omo shakol nevedvaro. On something that does not grow from the ground, you say shahakol. Va'al chometz, on vinegar, Va'al novlos, And now we'll discuss what Noblos is in the Gemara. Va'al ha-govai. Govai is a specific type of kosher locust. You say shahako. Omer shakol ne'bidvaro. Rabbi Huda omer kol shu min klala in mevarachin alav. Rabbi Huda says anything that is min klala. Min klala means anything that comes as a result of some type of destructive process. So we'll see what Rabbi Huda exactly refers this to. Truth is, the simplest idea is that he's talking about chometz, vinegar. Because how does vinegar occur, right? The wine or the grapes go bad. So Rabbi Huda's position is that any time you go ahead and have something that is a result of a destructive process, then Allah l'maisa no bracha. No aymevarchin na alav. How you lefan of minin harbe? If a person had many types of food in front of him, Rabbi Huda omer im yesh benei and min shiva alavu mevarich. Rabbi Huda holds that if you have multiple foods, and one of the foods there happens to be one of the shiva saminim, right, one of the seven species of Eretz Yisrael, then you make a bracha. That gets the bracha. The chacham on the chum say al eza mehen shiirtze. You make the bracha on any one you want. Tan rabbanon. Al dover shein gidulo min ha'aretz, something that does not grow from the ground. Kigon, basar behemos, meat, so basar of behemos or chayos, ofos. So whether it's meat, a fowl, v'dogim, fish, omer shakol ni'abidvaro. Ala chalav on milk, ala beitzin on eggs, ala gvina on cheese, omer shakol, ala pas she'ifsha on bread that has spoiled. So let's remember. Now there were certain circumstances where they were still eating certain types of rotted bread. Like, remember we spoke about kusach? Right? Kusach was this dish that was made with spoiled milk, rotted bread. I don't understand the culinary aspect of it, but alright. But obviously you're talking about a situation where, although the bread is not, it's not in its prime form, but obviously it's still edible. V'apah she'ifsha, v'al yayin she'hikrim, or wine that is spoiled, v'al tavshil she'avr tzurasa, on food that's spoiled, omer she'hakol, you make a she'hakol. I'll say again, all of this presupposes that when we say it's spoiled, it's still edible. Because for argument's sake, if you ate something that was not edible at all, but you forced yourself to eat it, that's not called the ma'isa achila, you would not make a bracha at all. Ala melach v'ala zamis, if you ate salt or you ate brine, v'al kibin upitrios, on truffles and mushrooms, omer shahakol, you would say shahakol. So the Gemara says, lememra, the kibin upitrios lav gedule karkuninu. Now, the Gemara is intrigued, because is this to say that truffles and mushrooms are not considered as if they grow from the ground? Because remember, the Gemara is saying, oh, they make a shahakol, not ha'adama. V'hatanya, but we learned, ha'noder miperos ha'aretz, asher beperos ha'aretz, umuter bekimin upitrios. If a person makes a neder not to get any benefit from fruits of the earth, they're not permitted to eat fruits of the earth, but they could eat truffles and mushrooms. V'im amar kol gidule karka alai, but if a person says anything that grows from the ground, see the difference between saying fruits of the ground, anything that grows from the ground, asr af bekimin upitrios, you're not even allowed to eat truffles and mushrooms. So we see from here that truffles and mushrooms are considered to be items that at least grow from the ground. Not peros, but considered to grow from the ground. Amar Abaye, mirba rabu me'ara, minki lo yonki me'ara. So Abaye says, true, they grow from the ground, but they do not receive any kind of nourishment from the ground. V'ha al dover she'in gidulo min ha'aretz katoni. Aye, but we learned that the way the Mishnah writes is something that doesn't grow from the ground gets a shahakol. So the Gemara says, you're right, you have to change the Mishnah. Tani al dover she'in yonek min ha'aretz. What the Mishnah actually needs to say is like this. Any item that does not receive its sustenance for its growth from the ground gets a shahakol. So these mushrooms and truffles, right, which ultimately come from spores, right, the airborne spores, so even though they grow on the ground, or they grow on some type of surface on the ground, because they are not nourished from the ground, halacha l'maaseh only get a shahakol. Va'ala novlos. What are novlos? We'll at least begin this today. We're going to stop in just a moment. Ala novlos. So my novlos. The Gemara says, what are novlos? Rabbi Zeir, Rabbi Eloi, chad amar bosh le'karma. So one opinion said, bosh le'karma. Now bosh le'karma, she points out, Rashi points out, kimosruve chama, sun-scorched dates. Sun-scorched meaning what? Dates that were left on the tree for too long and essentially became burned by the sun. Sunburned dates. V'chad amar tamri dezeka. Other ones said, no, that these are talking about dates that were blown off the tree by wind, laying on the ground. So the Gemara says, Tanan, Rabbi Huda omer kol shu min klala in mevarchin alav. Rabbi Huda says, anything that is a result of a destructive process, you don't make a bracha on it. So the Gemara says, Bishlam leman darim bosh le'karma, so I understand, according to one who holds that novlos refers to sun-scorched dates, then hanu dekarli min klala. Then I understand what Rabbi Huda is saying. Rabbi Huda will say, you don't make a bracha on the sun scorches because they're destroyed. Elo leman da'amri tamri dezeka maimin klala. Right? But if you say that novlos is dates that are blown off the tree, that's not a min klala. Right? It's fine. It's sitting on the ground. Maybe it's a little bit ruined, but it's not min klala. So the Gemara says, asha'ara. See, right? In achinami, you'd have to say that Rabbi Huda's statement is not referring to the novlos, but rather referring to the other items listed, namely the vinegar and the locusts. Ike the Amri, others say, Bishlam Lamandar Boshle Karma, Hainu Diman Rachin Alayo Shahakol. So others have a different version of this exchange. And they say, if you say that Novlos refers to sun scorched dates, I understand why you make a Shahakol. El Lamanda Amri, because again, the truth is, their original date status has been compromised. They no longer get to Ha'et, and therefore they get a Shahakol. El Lamanda Amr, Tamri de Zeka, but according to the Mandar who holds that Novlos represents dates that are blown off the tree, Shahakol. Right? So why would you get a shahakol? You should have to make a bari priya. Just because they've been blown off the tree doesn't mean they're not a date. You still make a ha'etz. Ella benovlos stama kuli amalo pligi deboshli karmaninu. So the Gemara says, you're right. When you just see the word novlos by itself simply refers to sun-scorched dates. Ki pligi, when do they argue? Benovlos tamra. When you see the phrase novlos tamra. So we'll say, we'll stop over here, but we'll pick up right here tomorrow, but we'll see again that when you see the phrase novlos tamra is the one that could refer either to sun's scorched dates, or ultimately to dates that were blown off the tree. So we'll say, just halacha l'maisa from this particular sugya is just in the previous sugya about shahakol. So the Mishnah specifically about bread. The Gemara recorded a machlokis as to whether or not you say shahakol on bread or on wine if you yotze. See, even though there are many poskim who say that, the Mishnah Berurah says bottom line: if you ended up saying shahakol on bread or even shahakol on wine, you are yotze and you would not need to recite another bracha. Okay, stop over here.